sing is Him with us. I've decided.
Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody that's here tonight. I am in person tonight. For those of you who are watching online, the last couple of times I've had to be on video there. So looking forward to tonight. So welcome to you who are on our phone live streaming. Those of you who are on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, do all those things. It just helps to get the word out. If you want to share a prayer request with us, be sure to do that over on Facebook. That's what we'll be watching for. I have my phone open to Facebook. And others here will too, to stop me if we have any prayer requests there. Also want to encourage you, if you're at home and here, if you're in person, be sure to get one of the bulletins from this past Sunday, some upcoming events that are in there. You can download that on our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's just a couple of tabs over under the info tab that you can download that. So be sure to get that downloaded, as well as the children's worship bulletins that you can download there. And then also the prayer list is there. Be sure to get that downloaded on the church website there also. And these are in on the benches in the front here, the pews in the front. So be sure to grab one of those, the children's worship bulletins in the windowsill to my right. Just a few things that I do want to remind you of also. Don't forget that you can do your online giving there on the website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right hand side and you can do that online giving. Encourage you to do that there. You can do that from here in person online. You can do that from the envelopes that are in your pews there, as well as in the windows in the offering plates down here in front. Also want to remind you, we removed it from the prayer list, as you're going to see in a little bit, but want to continue praying for the Calgary mission trips. There's a second group that is there this week, so keep them in your prayers. They'll be coming back this coming Saturday. Hopefully I'll be sharing some of that with you of our trip this past past week. Would somebody catch our lights? I just realized our lights are not even on. But just continue to keep them in prayer. They are doing kids camps all this week, and just pray that the gospel will continue to go forth. If you want to help with the Texas flooding disaster response, we are collecting personal hygiene items. There are some buckets right out here in the hallway. I want to encourage you to bring those things. You'll see on the screen there some of the things that are needed: brushes and combs and deodorants and washcloths, toothbrush, toothpaste, travel size soap, travel size shampoo, snack items. If you want to make a monetary donation, you can do that to the Tennessee Baptist Convention. You can go on their website, the tnbaptist.org, or you can do it with the address that's seen on your screen there. And so I encourage you to do that if you want to do that financially, but you can also pick up those items and place those in the buckets that are out here as they're labeled for each one of the things that we're needing. Go ahead and be sure to do that soon, because we're going to be starting to collect things for Operation Christmas Child this coming month. So I want to remind you to continue to do that and get those things in. We've also got some things coming up with our 75th anniversary service in September. We had a great service this past Sunday. The first one was great also, but we want to do some final planning things to make sure everybody's on the same page, make sure we all know what we're doing, so we don't maybe overlap where somebody else is doing, one of the other teams is doing some work. So we're going to be have a planning meeting this coming Sunday after the morning worship service. Is going to be a lunch meeting, so those of you who signed up for any of those teams, whether it's the media team, the decorations team, the first impressions team, the music publicity history team, or the hospitality kitchen, the invitation registration team, or the nursery children's and worship ministry teams, you'll see all those lists there on your screen. Be sure to plan to be here. It'll be after the morning service, so 11:45 or so, depending on how quick the preacher gets done preaching. So we'll have, I haven't preached in a while, people. So, not here anyway, in person. So just wanted to remind you of that. Don't forget our 75th anniversary celebration. Put it in your plans. September the 28th. That's going to be our final third part of our celebration. We want to have a big blowout with that. So there are some cards that are still around. I just picked this one up from over here on the right-hand side, so I know there's some over there. These are some Save the Date cards, has the dates on the back for each one of those services. So I want to encourage you to pick those up, share that with other people, and spread the word for the September service. We've had some great attendance with those who maybe haven't been in a while for these last two, and looking forward to having an even bigger attendance for that final one. So, Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Take your hymnals, everybody, and turn to 416, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Ms. Gill, don't step.
Hopefully at home you've had an opportunity to get your prayer list downloaded there, and so if you'll go ahead and get that out, get mine out. And if you didn't get one in person, be sure to grab one off the front. If somebody comes in late, please make sure that they get one of those. So we're going to go down through our prayer list tonight on both sides. On our Highland Baptist Church family side, I need some updates, too, if you have any of those. Since I've been away for a little bit here, want to get some updates. I have some updates on some that I want to share with you tonight, too. So if you're at home again, don't forget to go over to Facebook. That's where you'll be able to share your prayer requests there on the live service. So I want to encourage you to pray for Carolyn and S.W. Stone. And stop me if you have any updates. Arthur Hargrove, Betsy Farrell, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells, Jewel Farrell, Bill Warren, Rick German. Has anybody heard about his upcoming surgery? I've not heard any more since I talked to him a couple of Sundays ago. All right, Miss Kay Williams, still about the same, so continue to remember her in your prayers. Remember Amy Jackson, she still has her immunotherapy treatments, and so keep her in your prayers, she goes through those. Remember George Duncan, doing good, so praise the Lord for that. Brother Ken Tatum, the last report that I'd had, some of his counts were where they were better than they needed to be, but not sure. I've not got an update from Diane or him on his situation right now, but keep him in your prayers as he still continues to do those treatments. And remember Diane with her hip issues and things and taking care of him. Continue to remember Linda Miller. She still has those ongoing blood pressure issues. Leanne Wells, she's recovering at home. Saw that some of her surgery places are healing up well, so praise the Lord for that. Gordon Jackson is recovering at home. Al Pender, his surgery got postponed. As far as I know, he is back home with Marty. Okay, So probably not going to do the surgery at all for right now, is the word from Marty. So, but do keep Al in your prayers as he still has those issues with his heart. Suzanne Barton, keep her in your prayers. She messaged me earlier today and said if we would keep her on the prayer list. She's still having some issues with the swallowing and stuff from where they did the surgery with her esophagus and her stomach. So keep her in your prayers as she still has some issues there and trying to work through that, still having to eat the liquid foods, the soft foods to on that kind of a diet, so until things heal. So keep her in your prayers. As far as I know, Linda Jones, keep her in your prayers. From it says Harton Hospital there, but I believe that's from when she was in Harton Hospital before. But she has some ongoing medical issues there. Bobby Farrell had some skin places removed. And then also remember Beth Kidd. We thought she may go home today, but that was not the case. From what we understand, she got worse. And so keep her in your prayers as she's still in the hospital. And pray for the doctors and nurses to know the proper care for her. Anybody else on the Highland Baptist Church family side we need to add or give any updates on? He was supposed to talk to me Sunday night, and I did not get to talk with him. But I know he does have some kind of procedure coming up. So remember Tommy Griffin. We know he has the ongoing medical issues there. We'll add him for that. We believe he has surgery this week or next at the latest. So, all right, I don't see any others there on Facebook for that side. So on our friends and family side, remember the people of Ukraine, the people of Israel. Continue to remember the Meredith family as they're back on their way back to Moldova or back in Moldova already. Pray for the kids in that transition there too. I remember Katie Jo Bailey with her leukemia. Remember Sarah Jernigan with her medical issues. That's the sister of Sherry Jernigan, one of our former CDC teachers who was in a facility down in Chattanooga area. It's a long-term medical issue she has. Remember Buddy Saunders. This is Charles Saunders' brother with his medical issues. Mamie Thompson. Keep her in your prayer. She had been in our nursing home assisted living list, but she's in her own apartment now. Just continue to pray for her as she still has some of the situations that she was having before. But keep her in your prayers. Ryan Bond, with his cancer. I remember Yvonne Ortiz, Kim Tucker with cancer, Charles Miller, pray for surgery there. That's one of Matt Kohler's uncles. I remember Andy Taylor, it was Nancy Ritchie's brother who had cancer. I remember Kay Goff, a friend of ours in Charlotte, North Carolina, who has dementia. I remember the Ray family. This is also related to Matt Kohler. Crystal Schroyer, who has bone cancer, and I believe that's a relative of Belle Royton's. I remember Cody Kohler, who is Matt's brother. He still has some ongoing results from his car crash last year that he's still going through, so keep him in your prayers. Remember Barbara Prince in your prayers, that's Ann Smith's aunt with colon cancer. Continue to remember Miss Mary Leibig. You want to say anything there? Just getting rested. So just keep her in your prayers. The family's taking care and alternating there, taking care of her. Just continue to pray there too for the loss of her husband and for the family there too with that. Remember Pat and Carrie Robinson, Samantha's sister and brother-in-law, and they have some ongoing issues there at least through September. So keep them in your prayers. And then Delilah and Callahan Garmany, both of those were children who had hearing issues, the same hearing issues, and had to have surgeries for those. I remember Virginia Counts, who is recovering from a fall. This is Ella Thames' mother. She's at home usually watching with Miss Ella for our evening services and our morning services too. So keep her in your prayers. I remember Jimmy Hasty. He has some ongoing medical issues still. So keep him in your prayers as they're transitioning some care for him. I remember the Music Search Committee and praying that God would lead us to the individual to lead and direct our choir and our congregational music. I remember Jack Young, who has cancer, Tom Watson, who is home with medical issues, that's a friend of Mindy Tantz, Kinsley Williams, who has medical issues, the niece of Zach Brazier, and then Phil Jones, who's recovering at home also. Okay, so having home health with rehab coming in, so we praise the Lord for that. Just continue to pray for his continued recovery. Remember Rhonda Morris, who's recovering from her recent surgery. John, how do we say it? Sakich. I wanted to make sure I said that again right. John Sakich, who has some broken bones from a fall. Any improvement there?
It's going to be a long time.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so collarbone broken, ribs broken, a lot of bones broken. So, yeah, so keep him in your prayers, John Sakich. Remember Ella Fanning, who has cancer. Remember Jacqueline Painter, who's recovering from her gallbladder surgery that she had to have, and it was emergency surgery down in Florida. And then this one was added today, Matt Kohler, a friend of his named Holly Dean, who's having a high-risk pregnancy. She's about close to 30 weeks but yet she's having some issues, some extremely dangerous issues. So keep her in your prayers, pray for her, pray for safe delivery of the baby. Any others on the friends and family side? Again, if you're there on Facebook, be sure to comment there on Facebook. All right, I don't see any there. So in the nursing home and assisted living, we have Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Beverly Daniels at Morning Point, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home. He had cataract surgery. And then remember Miss Mary Lee Stringfield, who's in Lynchburg at the nursing home. And then is Cindy Ingram still in the? She's still at NHC, so. Okay. So keep Cindy Ingram in your prayers also as she's at NHC Tullahoma. Any others that we need to add? Any other updates? All right, I don't see any. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer for these, praying for our mission team that is in Calgary working this week and sharing the gospel with kids and their families. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much. Thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord. We know it's been hot. We know that, Lord, we're enduring through the summer, Lord, as the heat continues to rise. But we know, Lord, that you're still with us. You still are providing for us, even when things are not optimal and where we think it ought to be. It's all in your control, all in your hands. It's a part of your plan and what you're preparing us for in the days ahead. So, Father, I pray that we would remain faithful to you, that you will continue to provide for our every need. Lord, that you'll embrace us in your loving mercy and grace to keep us healthy, to keep us faithful in the kingdom work that you've called us to. I pray, God, that we would be faithful to share the good news of the gospel with the people around us and those opportunities that you bring across our path every day. So often we allow opportunities to pass that we don't even realize sometimes that that was a moment I had to share with a person. Even as small as it might have been, you could take those seeds of the gospel and use it to bring people to faith in Christ. So I pray that you would do that, Lord, that you would remind us when those opportunities come our way to take the opportunity. And even if we don't know everything to say, to just say the things we know to say, do the things we know to do. And Father, I pray that you will use our ministry of reconciliation and love towards people and showing them your grace and your mercy, that you would use it to bring people to faith in Christ as the seeds of the gospel are planted in their hearts. Help us, Lord, to share with them why we're doing the things we're doing, to share with them the love of Jesus Christ. We just want to come to you tonight, Lord, and say thank you. Thank you for those opportunities that you've given to us. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your protection over us. And we just want to give you the glory and the honor because, Lord, we know that you are always, always, always faithful, even when we are not. As we come into your presence, Lord, we acknowledge and recognize that we're not always where we need to be. We're not in our walk with you. We have disobeyed you and done things that we shouldn't have done, that you've commanded us not to do. There are maybe things in our lives that we should have done that we did not do, and you've told us, Lord, that that is sin in your word also. When we know to do good and we do it not, you've told us in your word very explicitly and plainly that is sin. So forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Wash us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Renew us to a right relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit as believers, to live faithfully in this world, set apart from this world, but in this world, being a witness to a lost and dying world before it's too late. Father, I pray tonight as we come to you in prayer, there are many that are on this prayer list, and we're praying mostly for physical needs that are here on this list. But Lord, we know that along with that are many, many, many spiritual needs. There may be individuals, Lord, who are on this list who don't know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And we just pray, Lord, that you would use the circumstances, the trials, the tribulations they're going through, the difficulties they're facing, to point them to Jesus Christ, to bring people across their path who would share the good news of the gospel with them. Lord, that as they're in their dire situations, that they would look to you and they would call out to you for salvation. But Father, we know also that there are some who are already believers and yet they're going through some difficulties, Lord, and they're struggling. They're struggling in their walk with you as they seek to remain faithful. And so, Father, I pray that you will uplift them with your mighty strong arms. Fill them, Lord, with your Spirit to be empowered to keep pressing forward, to keep persevering one moment at a time, one day at a time, till they're through to the other side, whether that's in your presence or whether that's through the healing that we're praying for their bodies. And so, Father, we want to uplift each one of these, knowing that you are the great physician. We ask, God, for you to divinely intervene in their lives, touch them as only you can touch them. Bring your power into their lives as only your power can bring the healing that they need. Be with doctors, be with nurses, be with caregivers who are taking care of them. Give them wisdom, give them discernment in all the knowledge and wisdom that you've given to mankind to take care of us physically. But we know you're the great physician, so we uplift them to you and we ask for your will to be done in their lives. Use those who are caregiving, Lord, to bring about those miracles in their lives. And Father, we pray for healing for each one of these that are on this list, each one of these that we've mentioned, those who have surgeries, those who've come through surgeries, those who are in rehab, those who are in the nursing homes. Lord, just give them in their hearts a peace that passes all understanding in your presence, to know, Lord, that you are with them and that you would use that peace in their lives as a witness to their families and to their caregivers and to others around them. Father, thank you so much for all that you have done for us in sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And we ask, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us each day with the truth of your word. May it be that lamp unto our feet and light into our path. Father, we pray for our youth who are learning from your word tonight. And I pray, God, that you'll continue to ignite a fire in their hearts to be faithful, committed followers of Jesus Christ. We pray, God, for our children who are getting ready to start back school, whether that's children or youth. And Father, we just pray that you will lead them and bless them throughout this coming year. Protect them, place a hedge of protection about them. Be with all the educators, the teachers, the rest of the staff that work at the schools. And we just pray, God, that you will bless them as they guide our children. And Father, I pray that you will be made known more and more in our school systems, whether that's locally or whether that's even in college. We pray for those, Lord, who are getting ready to go off to college, especially those going off for the first time. Help them, Lord, to stay faithful in the truth, to stay faithful in their relationship with you, to not be led astray to the left or to the right. And Father, we just pray for your will to be done as you would use them in your great kingdom work in whatever way that you would. Father, we pray for the missionary groups that are serving in Calgary this week. Even the groups that served last week, that the seeds that were sown there will continue to grow and come to fruition in the days ahead by people coming to faith in Christ. We pray for the workers who are there this week. Lord, give them those opportunities still as they're talking with those children, as they're talking with families, as they're talking with people in the community. Open up opportunities for them to share the good news of the gospel. Give them boldness. Give them courage, Lord, in the midst of such apathy in Canada. And Father, I just pray that your blessings would be upon the city of Calgary and Alberta, Canada itself, as the gospel continues to go forth there through the church plants that are growing there and continuing to reach out to their communities. We ask, Lord, that you'll provide for their every need. Be with that group that's there this week and protect them and provide for them as they come home safely this coming weekend. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for what you're doing here in our own community, in our own church. Thank you for this past Sunday and the 75th anniversary and seeing the pictures, seeing the images, being reminded of your faithfulness throughout the decades of this church history of 75 years of your faithfulness. And Lord, that's what we want to make known. We don't want to make any individual pastor or leader or any group be exalted. We want to uplift the name of Jesus Christ and to make much of you and what you have done in and through this church. And so, Father, I pray that as we get ready to celebrate in the climax of this last service in September, prepare our hearts now. Get us ready, Lord, for that service, to invite people, to share with people, to use this, Lord, as a springboard to the future and all that you have planned for us in the days ahead as a church. Father, 75 years has been great, but we're looking forward to the next 75 years and what you have planned for this church. And so, Father, I pray that we will be the beacon, a light on a hill, Lord, here in the city of Tullahoma, but not just in Tullahoma, around this nation and around the world, as people would be called out from this church to go and be missionaries, to go and be evangelists, to go and be international missionaries. Father, I pray that you will stir people's hearts in this church to be missionaries locally, even across our state, in whatever way that we can, to share the good news of the gospel with our neighbors. And Father, I just pray that as we look at this passage tonight, here in the book of Isaiah, Father, I pray that you will move us in a powerful way to see your word and how it relates to us here from the Old Testament and what you want to show us to change and transform our lives more and more into the image of Christ Jesus. So bless us tonight as we come to study your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah. You'll notice there when we were showing the prayer screen there, there was a new background that you saw there. That was from Canada. So, the other one, has anybody got a guess where that was from? You remember the other one we showed? It was just a little small little waterfall dripping over. That was over in Manchester at Old Stone Fort Park over there. So Isaiah 56 is where we're at. Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, verse 1 through verse 12. It is only 12 verses, but I want to begin in a different place. So hold your finger there, put a bookmark there. You know, you have one of those little ribbons a lot of times on your Bible. Put that in the book of Isaiah there. And I want to ask you to turn over to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. And you're going to understand when I read this passage why I'm reading this passage to begin with, because it relates back to Isaiah 56. In fact, one of the things you're going to see all throughout the New Testament, especially from Jesus, from Paul, from Peter and others, Isaiah is the most quoted Old Testament book outside of the Psalms in the New Testament. And so when you look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 down through verse 30, this is a direct correlation to the chapter we're in, not just generically to the book of Isaiah, but to Isaiah 56 in particular. And in particular, we're going to see that it comes back to verse 7 in Isaiah 56. So Matthew 13, verse 24, down through verse 30. So it says, "He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So the plants came up and bore grain. Then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Jesus's parable here of the wheat and the weeds, some versions may say the tares, vividly captures the reality of life in a fallen world. Life where God's people grow alongside the wicked. And yet we face distinct eternal destinies. The wheat that's going to be gathered, he gives us in this parable, is going to be put into God's barn, which is representative of heaven. The weeds are going to be cast into fire. That's representative of hell. In Isaiah 56 and 57, you're going to see that those two chapters echo that contrast between the wheat and the weeds. That's why I've entitled the message tonight, "The Wheat and the Weeds," because I want us to see here that contrast portraying the humble who find peace in God and the self-indulgent who face judgment. I want us to see how Isaiah's prophetic vision here speaks not only to his time, but also to our time, as this passage challenges us that even though we may be growing amongst the weeds, even though wickedness may seem to abound more and more around us as the days and the months and the years continue on, that this passage challenges us to live as wheat in a weed-filled world. The verses in this chapter 56, in fact, in particular, when you go back to Isaiah 56, the verse that is really the heart of this chapter is found in verse 8. If you look at verse 8 says in chapter 56 of Isaiah, "The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, 'I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered.'" That's the heart of this chapter. In the world that Isaiah was living in the world of the New Testament, in our world today, people were divided by walls. Sometimes it was walls of race. Sometimes it was walls of status. Sometimes it was walls of gender. Sometimes it was walls of sin. You remember even in the New Testament, you didn't talk to Samaritans. Samaritans were the outcasts. They were the ones who didn't have anything to do with. You had the woman at the well that Jesus spoke to. And part of that story is to show us that Jesus did what the custom was not to do. You didn't talk to a Samaritan woman to start with, and you didn't talk to a woman at a well there either, because she was a woman. And so sometimes race and status and sin and genders separated people. God's heartbeat, it beats with a unifying purpose: to gather a people for himself from every corner of the earth. So Isaiah 56:8 reveals to us that divine mission, where the Lord who gathers Israel's outcasts declares and says, "Yet I will gather others." Who are those others? Understand, this is no small promise that he's making here. It's a glimpse into the heart of God, who flings wide the gates of his kingdom to welcome the unlikely, the unworthy, and the outcasts. In Isaiah's day, who do you think would have been those who you would have thought of as being the unlikely ones? Maybe it was those from Babylon. Maybe it was those from Assyria. Maybe it would be the Persians that you would think. There's no way God loves them. God cares for them. In fact, you read through the book of Isaiah, and God's people even question God and say to God, "How can you use this evil nation, this ungodly king, to bring judgment against us, your holy, righteous people?" Which they weren't. The Bible tells us, "None is good, none doeth good, no, not one." And so they argued with God about that. And so as you look at our world today, think in the terms of who are the unlikely, who are the unworthy, who are the outcasts. This passage points us to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it calls us to live as God's gathered people. So the first thing we see in chapter 56 that we want to notice here is the wheat. The wheat. So what is the wheat? God welcomes the outcast. So not only is he talking about the Jewish people, in particular here, he's talking about the outcasts, people who are outside the Jews, people who are not Israelites. And so read with me, if you will, verse 1 and verse 2 of Isaiah 56. "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from this people.' And let not the eunuch say, 'Behold, I'm a dry tree.'" We'll stop right there for just a moment, because these verses here are foreseeing a day that's out there in the future yet, that when God's house will become, look down to verse 7, skip ahead to verse 7. It says, "These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my" what? "House of prayer." Now we'll come back to that verse again, but then at the end of that verse it says, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." That's a promise in the Word of God in Isaiah 56. Well, when you come over to the New Testament, do you remember Jesus quotes this verse? He quotes this verse over in Mark's Gospel in Mark 11, verse 17. It says, "And as he was teaching them and saying to them, he said, 'Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer?'" Not just a house of prayer. It'd be fine if he left it there. Then they could interpret it the way they wanted to interpret it and say, it's a house of prayer for the Jews. But all the rest of you out there, you Gentiles, it's not for you. You're lost, you're dying, you're going to hell, and we don't care about you. But notice what he says. "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations." So that went against the grain in Jesus' day of the Jewish leaders.
He says, but here's what you've done as the Jewish leaders. You have made it a den of robbers. So in the, as you see there, Jesus uses that passage from Isaiah there in the Gospels in Mark 11, 17 to remind us that his house shall be called a house of prayer. Now he mentions something in the verses that we read here, especially I believe it was in verse 3. Verse 3 that we read there said, "Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people,' and let not the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.'" In other words, he's saying to the Gentiles, don't think that you're left hopeless. Don't think that you're a dead, drying tree. My gospel, my message of hope is for all nations. So in the Old Covenant, eunuchs and foreigners were excluded from the temple. But Isaiah says here that those who hold fast to God's covenant through faith will be welcomed. Because notice what verse 4 goes on to say. "For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Now that they're going to receive an everlasting name, in other words, a place in God's sanctuary. That is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because it's through the cross of Jesus Christ that he abolishes the dividing wall of hostility. That's why when Paul goes to teach us in the New Testament, he says there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile, because God has broke down those walls. Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, broke down that dividing wall, making the Jews and the Gentiles one in his church. In fact, here's what Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. It said about Jesus, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility," talking about the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile, "by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two," in place of Jew and Gentile, now just one, "so making peace." So what we see is that our God is a God who welcomes the outcast. That was the Gentiles in the Jewish mind. And in tearing down that wall of division, Jesus was uniting the Jews and the Gentiles into living stones, a part of God's spiritual house. And then you come to verse 8. Well, let's continue reading verse 7. Verse 7 says, "These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." And then verse 8, "The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered." And so in the early church, we see that promise being fulfilled. He says here, God who gathers Israel's outcasts is going to gather others beyond them. It's a prophetic echo in John 11, chapter 52, where Jesus dies on the cross to unite the scattered children of God. You see the verse there, not for the nation only, not for the Jews only, but also to gather into the children of God who are scattered abroad, those who are outside the children of God. In the early church, you remember one of those was the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember that in the book of Acts? The book of Acts embodies that promise. He was a eunuch. Not only was he a eunuch, he was a foreigner. He had been excluded under the old covenant. And yet, he was reading what? Do you remember what book he was reading? Isaiah. He was reading the book of Isaiah when Philip came up beside him in the chariot there. And he said, "Do you know what you're reading?" And he said, "I need somebody to explain it to me." I see what I'm reading, but I need somebody to help me. He's reading the book of Isaiah on the scrolls there. And so Philip sits there with him, begins to go through the book of Isaiah to explain to him the truths of Isaiah that are talking about the Messiah, talking about Jesus Christ. And Philip leads him to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he baptizes him. When that Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, he was baptized into Christ. And he became a living stone in God's house, proving Isaiah's vision of inclusion through faith. That the message of the gospel is not just for one group of people, it's for the whole world, it's for any who will believe. Isn't that what John 3:16 tells us? For whosoever believeth is open to whosoever will. But it is a narrow way. It is exclusive in that it's only through Jesus Christ that you can receive salvation. And so his story of the Ethiopian eunuch shows that no one is too far for God's grace. In the 1990s, there was a lady by the name of Rosaria Butterfield. She was a former atheist. She was a lesbian activist. She was the most unlikely person to come to faith in Jesus Christ, the most unlikely candidate for God's kingdom. And yet a pastor came alongside her and showed her kindness, shared the gospel with her, and the gospel's power drew her to faith in Jesus Christ. And she was converted. She was changed. She talks about it in her book, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. And her story mirrors the story of the eunuchs and the foreigners of Isaiah 56, outcasts welcomed by grace. And her life now proclaims God's gospel, the gospel of love. You know, no one is beyond God's reach. So you think of that most unlikely person. You think of that most unworthy person in your life. They are not far from the grace of God. So the question for us then, the application for this first part here is then, are we embracing the others in our community? Are we embracing the ones who he's talking about here, the outcasts in our community, the ones who society marginalizes? Are we welcoming others in our life that society overlooks? We need to be living as God's gathered, extending his grace to those who are outcasts. And I'd also say this, whether you're here tonight or you're watching online, if you feel like you're one of those outcasts, here's what you need to know. No matter what your background is, no matter what sin you may be involved in, God welcomes you through faith in Jesus Christ. He will change you from the inside out. All you have to do is come by faith to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the wheat that we see. That's who we are. So the first part of the message is to us. The first part of the message is to us who are the wheat. What should we be doing? But then he contrasts it with the rebellious world, the weeds. That's the second thing that we see here in verse 9 down to verse 12. It continues on into chapter 57, but we're going to look at chapter 57 apart from this the next time. We'll just barely get into chapter 57 with this tonight. So notice what he goes on to say in verse 9. He says in verse 9, "All you beasts of the field, come to devour. All you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind," verse 10 says. "They are all without knowledge. They are all silent dogs. They cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. The dogs have a mighty appetite. They never have enough, but they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each to his own gain, one and all." So what in the world is Isaiah talking about here in these verses? Well, chapter 56 and 57, we said, contrast God's gathered, that's the wheat, with the world's rebels, the weeds. And in verse 9 down through verse 12, as we're going to continue on in a moment, Israel's watchmen that he's talking about here are the corrupt leaders who are blind, who are lazy, who are gluttonous, who are worshiping their appetites. You notice their drunken presumption as you come down to verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Come," they say, "let me get wine. Let us fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow we will be like this day, great beyond measure. Let's just go get drunk and live up this day, and we'll all pass out, and tomorrow we'll wake up, and that day will be better than this day was." That's their message that they're telling the people. It's a drunken presumption there that recalls, if you will, the pre-exile times of Manasseh, who was one of their kings, whose sins led to the reason they were exiled. If you go back to 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 6, you'll notice just how deplorable Manasseh was. In chapter 21 of verse 6 in 2 Kings, it says, "And he," this is Manasseh, who was one of the kings here of God's people, "he burned his son as an offering, and he used fortune-telling and omens, and dealt with mediums and with necromancers, and did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger." And so that's what we see here about Manasseh. And then that just continues on into chapter 57, where Isaiah condemns the idolaters who mock the godly, who pursue the Canaanite rituals in verse 1 down through verse 9 here. They're trusting in their future alliances still. Their idols, he says, though, as you get on down to verse 13 in chapter 57, he's going to say that their idols are like chaff. You remember what chaff is? You got the wheat, you got the kernel inside the husk. That's what it's talking about there, the chaff. That when you break that husk open, there's where the kernel is. That's where you the seed you crush to get your wheat, your bread, for your flour for your bread. The rest of it just blows away with the wind. So they would take that and put it into a winnowing place, and they would throw it up into the air and throw it up into the air that the breeze would blow the chaff out. He says their idols are like that. They come and they go. They'll be scattered by God's judgment. And yet against this backdrop of rebellion, what did God promise in chapter 56? He promised to gather others. And that's the shining message here, revealing that God's grace is unstoppable. In 1517, Martin Luther, you remember, nailed his 95 Theses to the church at Wittenberg's door. He exposed the self-indulgence of the church leaders, because you remember what they were doing, if you know anything about church history? They were selling indulgences for their own profit. They were greedy. And their greed mirrors Isaiah's watchmen, who were prioritizing their own personal gain over God's truth. That's a danger for any of us. We're all tempted to sin. We're all tempted with greed and covetousness and such. And so he says these watchmen were prioritizing personal gain over God's truth. That's what those were doing in Martin Luther's day. And Luther's stand called the church back to the scriptures. And that's where we began with the Reformation. The corrupt face divine judgment through that Reformation. So what we need to learn and what we need to do is to make sure in our hearts that we don't become like these ungodly leaders that he's talking about here, these watchmen. We don't need to become like them. So we need to guard ourselves against self-indulgence. Like the wheat, we need to prioritize God's glory. Everything you do as a church ought to be about God's glory. It ought not to be about Highland. It ought not to be about Pastor Jim. It ought not to be about you. It ought to be about God. Lifting up God. Lifting up the name of Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us when you lift up the name of Jesus, he will draw men unto himself. And that's what we need to be faithful to do. Not about personal gain. We need to be leading in our lives and living in our lives with diligence and integrity. It was in the 16th century, William Tyndale. He risked his life to translate the Bible into English, believing that God's word ought to reach the others. Common people excluded by a corrupt church. You know what happened to him? He was burned at the stake in 1536. But the work that he did sowed the seeds for the Reformation, gathering countless souls to Christ. His sacrifice exposes the weeds of self-indulgent religion and magnifies God's gathering grace. Beware the weeds of idolatry, whether it's materialism, whether it's self-reliance. As God's gathered, that's who we are as the New Testament church. We are God's gathered. We were not apart. In fact, Paul says we have been grafted into the vine. And we can just as easily be ungrafted by our sin, by our rebellion against God. Beware the weeds of idolatry. As God's gathered, we need to root our life in His Word, not in the fleeting pleasures of this world. In the 1980s in Rwanda, Immaculee Ibagiza survived the genocide by hiding for 91 days in a tiny bathroom. In the midst of the hatred there, she clung to faith. She prayed for her enemies. Her story is told in the book Left to Tell, and it reflects God's gathering grace amidst a weed-filled world of violence. Her forgiveness, she forgave her persecutors. And her forgiveness of her persecutors echoes Isaiah's vision of God's triumph over rebellion. So we need to guard our lives. We need to guard our hearts against the idols of our age. The idols of our age are comfort and status, or maybe self. And as God's gathered, we need to be rooted in God's Word. That's the wheat. That's the weeds. But I want you to go back to that central verse of this chapter, verse 8. Here's what I want you to see as we close. I want you to see the call, that we're to live as God's gathered people. It says, "The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to Him besides those already gathered." Verse 8 there is a call. God gathers not only Israel, but others from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue. As we said, that fulfills Jesus' mission to unite the scattered that we read about earlier in John 11:52. But it also anticipates the heavenly multitude in the book of Revelation. So when you think about, I don't care about all those other nations, or I don't care about those people who are the outcasts. We need to focus on our people here. Notice what Revelation 7:9-10 says. After this, John says, "I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That's what we're to be doing and preparing for as God's gathered. We're to live distinctly as wheat among the weeds, preserving justice, as verse 1 said, proclaiming His grace, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, welcoming the outcast, shining as those gathered by the cross, reflecting God's heart for the others that He gathers. In the 20th century, you remember Corrie ten Boom. If you've never read Corrie ten Boom's testimony, you need to read it. She was a Dutch Christian. She hid Jews during the Holocaust. She risked her life to gather others to safety. She was imprisoned eventually, but she continued sharing the gospel. She continued bringing hope to fellow prisoners. She wrote that. If you ever find the book, The Hiding Place, great story, great book to read. Not just a story, her life. And in her memoir there, it testifies to God's gathering grace, even in a weed-filled world of hatred. Her life challenges us to extend God's love boldly. So let me encourage you tonight as we close. Live as God's gathered. Shine the light of Jesus Christ. Share the gospel with others around you, whether that's your coworkers, your neighbor, strangers, other family members, trusting that it's God who is building his kingdom. Verse 8 there reveals a God who gathers outcasts and others into his kingdom through Jesus Christ and his redeeming work. Whether it's from the Ethiopian eunuch, or to Tyndall, or to Corrie ten Boom, history is filled with stories of God's grace in a world of weeds. We're called to live as the wheat. We're called to gather by grace, resting in his peace, and extending his invitation to others. We ought to be praying for our hearts to be ablaze to gather the scattered, trusting the Lord who says, "Yet will I gather others to him." That is the heartbeat of the church, sharing the gospel that you've received with the others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. What a powerful scripture here that even the Lord Jesus quotes. Lord, you've told us in your word that your house is to be a house of prayer, and I believe it is to be that, Lord. Not just a house of prayer for our needs, but more importantly, a house of prayer to bring glory to your name, a house of prayer to pray for those who are lost to come into faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that that would become more and more of a priority in our lives, that we'd be praying that you would fill us and indwell us with the power of the Holy Spirit to live and to be the wheat that we need to be the light in the world of darkness that we need to be, in the midst of all the darkness around us, in the midst of all the weeds of sin around us, to be that shining light, that sharing the gospel through our words, through our actions, that we would be all you would have us to be and do all you would have us to do. Lord, there is so much more work to be done. Lord, we'll never be finished with the work until the trumpet sounds. So, Father, help us to be faithful till either you call us home to be with you in glory, or until that time when you come again to call your church home. Father, I pray that you would use us in whatever way that you would to be that shining light, to be sharing the good news of the gospel with the outcasts, with the down and out, with the most unlikely, bringing them, Lord, to that place to know that there is hope, hope in Jesus Christ. Hope that God loves them so much that he loves them and so much that he doesn't want them to stay in their sin. He wants them to become more like Christ than ever before. And that can only happen by placing their faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for them. So, Lord, I pray tonight that maybe someone hears that message and that they would respond to receive Christ. But, Lord, I pray for many of us who are believers, that you would give us a passion, set our hearts ablaze for the others of this world. Lord, just like someone saw us in our time of need and shared the good news of the gospel with us, and we responded and accepted Christ as our Savior, what a message we're to declare to the nations of the world, that one day we're going to enter there into heaven, and we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But I believe we also may hear, Lord, some people coming to us saying, "Thank you. Thank you for sharing Jesus with me. It's because of what you shared. It's because of what you did. It's because of your love and your grace that you showed to me that I became a Christian." Lord, I pray that we'll be faithful to the very end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us here tonight in person. Thank you for joining with us there online at home or wherever you may be. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. Come and join us if you can. We're going to have a wonderful service this Sunday together. I hope you have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you this coming Sunday morning.